force.
And we're standing here only because you've made a way.
They make a
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Our God, our God,
that is who you are.
Remind yourself of who God is.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
My soul, that's who He is to me.
He is the waymaker, miracle worker,
the
promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Because
And Jacob, our Father who art in heaven, and this is the covenant that you will make with us, the house of Israel. After those days, you will write your law upon our hearts. You will inscribe and put them in our mind. Yes, and you'll be merciful to us. You will say, you have said in your word that none will say to his brother, "Know the Lord, know the Lord," for all will know you from the least of us to the greatest of us. Oh, we thank you for this covenant that you have ratified by the blood of the Lamb that speaks better things than the blood of Abel that has made a way. Yes, into the very throne room that we obtain mercy, find grace for help in this time of need, and have written upon the ground of our hearts, the table of our hearts, by the ink of the Holy Spirit, this law of life, this law of love that sets us free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free, taking us from where we are to where we ought to be, healing, delivering, setting free, breaking yokes, transforming, Lord God, solving challenges and problems, causing your kingdom to come in us, your will to be done, causing a demonstration of your power and of your glory, causing the image of Christ, Lord, to be created, Lord, and formed in us, Lord Jesus, so that indeed you may be the firstborn among many brethren. Thank you again for this covenant of life, this covenant of salt that preserves the earth, this covenant of peace. Yes, this covenant of mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because by your blood, yes, this covenant has been ratified forever, sealed, Lord God, and made possible and made manifest, Lord, and made a reality. Lord, we do not take it for granted. And so in this place, we, in the name of Jesus, in your name, we claim the promises and the benefits of that covenant. Yes, the healing, Lord God, the wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, the cleansing and the flushing out of sin. Yes, the destruction of the plans of the enemy, the destructions of the works of the enemy, the destruction of the works of the flesh, deliverance. Yes, Lord God, total deliverance. That is what you have offered, so that indeed you will see us and you see the trouble of your soul, you will be satisfied. Wonderful Holy Spirit, is not of him that wills, nor him that runs, but of you that shows mercy. This covenant can only be made reality by you, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of reality. And so we say, take complete control. You are the one that is at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. So this covenant and the blessings thereof, the realities thereof, will be made manifest, Lord, upon our hearts and upon our lives, so that we will believe them and we will know them. We will walk in them. It will not just be what we hear and what is nice, but it will be what is way, the truth and the life. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. We worship you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit, again, for this covenant of life, this covenant of peace, this covenant of deliverance, this covenant of health, this covenant of salvation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You are the covenant-keeping God. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. You're the covenant-keeping God. One more time in our lives, in our homes. You are the covenant-keeping God. In your church, by your blood, by your word, by your spirit. The covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shout of victory in the house, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give God for the praise. We give God for His presence. We give God for this time of praise and worship. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to quickly welcome you in the name of Jesus to Zion City Fellowship, the campus of the Church of Scripture, Pastoral Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson, Mr. Luby Johnson. Thank God for His mercies. Thank God for our fathers and the house. Yes, the Bible says they have thousands of instructions, 10,000 instructions, very few fathers, and we can say honestly, we can say truthfully, that we have fathers in this house, and we give God the glory that they will see the child of their souls, they will be satisfied in Jesus' name, and they will know that they have not run or labored in vain, because we will grow and fulfill our purpose and destiny also in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, so we would like to just turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to Zion State Fellowship. You know, it's the last Friday of the month of September. Can you believe it again? My God, have mercy. Have mercy, oh, it's mercy, oh, as we enter into the last quarter of the year. And so this evening is going to be a time of interaction and encouragement, you know, as I'll just share briefly, and then Prof will take Prof will take control, but it's the Holy Spirit that will take control. The Holy Spirit will take control, you know, and so, and then we'll also have that time where we just quickly share and interact. I believe that you've been thinking through what we've been doing this month, you know, and so questions, contributions. And just what I want to drop with us in like 5 minutes is we've been talking about let's just bow to pray. Father, we just thank you again. Thank you again for the covenant-keeping God that you are. Thank you because all we are just asking God is fresh mercy. For we know it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of you that shows mercy. It's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Thank you because, Lord Jesus, your grace is our sufficiency in hearing you. Lord God, in speaking your words, not speaking our own words. Lord God, Father, but only that which you want to say, and that out of our belly will flow rivers of living water, that our mouth, our tongue will be like a pen of the ready writer. Lord, that will flow, that will cause the word of God to flow. Lord God, unhindered, empowered, bringing healing, strength, encouragement, bringing, causing faith. Lord God, to arise in the hearts of men and women, Lord, even in this place, causing their faith not to rest in the word and the wisdom of men, but in the power and the demonstration of the power of the living God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you again because you will cause an eternal change in our heart that will make Christ to be formed in our hearts and our souls and our bodies, and to be demonstrated and made manifest in our bodies and circumstances. So our glory will go to the name of Jesus, blessing the sons of men. We continue to cast out every spirit of destruction, of worry, anxiety, every spirit of depression, by whatever we are called, seeking to hinder us from delivering the word, speaking the word, hearing and understanding and receiving it with wholeness of heart. We cast you out, we destroy works, we banish you from our midst, and we loose the angels, the seven spirits to occupy the air and set into motion God's perfect will concerning this time and fellowship, interaction, this time of sharing the word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just want to quickly let you know, you know, we've been talking about closing the gaps, filling the gaps, you know, no more gaps. And we talked about gaps being spots, you know, blemishes, works of the flesh. The Bible says that the flesh lost against the spirit, against the spirit against the flesh. And so we know that we have the divine nature, you know, in our hearts. And we have the sin nature still operating the soul and the body. Even the best of men, you'll be amazed how you and me, Lord, or people, you know, that you think are very good, even in their profession, under tremendous pressure, begin to act bizarre, you know, because you need to close the gaps and you need to remove the spots. And one major, three major things I want us to know when it comes to closing the gaps, and it came to me, you know, is the Bible says that as soon as Zion traveled, she did what? She brought forth. And he says, my little children, this is one I wanted to say, Galatians chapter 5, I believe, or is it Galatians chapter 4? My little children, of whom I travel in birth again until what? Christ be formed in you. It is important for you to know that if you don't close the void and the gaps and the spaces and replace it, you know, or have something that is greater and stronger, pushing it and fighting it, that thing, that gap will, Satan will take advantage of that gap. Are you listening to me? Satan would, yeah, might be seeming infirmities. There might even be things that you think they are irrelevant, you can never happen to me. It's not my portion, you know. But in this end time, you see, iniquity is abounding, and you need to be aware of this. Even in business, you know, many of us, we're always thinking, I want to be the best entrepreneur, best this, best that. I've seen entrepreneurs that, if you see the kind of things, Prof always tells us, even in the secular world, you see the kind of things that happen to men, you'll be wondering, this person, even in marriages and homes, you'll be expecting them to have the best homes, the best marriages, but you start to say things like adultery, you start to say things like works of the flesh, you know, made manifest. And that's why the Bible says many times, says give no place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold. So a major thing, a priority in our lives, even in our spiritual life, in our walk with God, in our secular life, must be to get rid of spots. Anything that has nothing to, that doesn't have anything to do with integrity, doesn't have anything to do with righteousness, purity, doesn't have anything to being straightforward and honest with God, with men, you must get it out. Don't say this one is a little sin, this one is a little gap. Nobody hates it. Do you understand? It's not overnight that we will get them all out, but it is better to start hating them from the beginning. I listen to me, and it's better to acknowledge them. That's the first thing. Be honest about it. This is an issue. You understand? And if you need to start mentioning it personally in your private wardrobes, yes, it's welcome. And start talking, start praying to God and talking to God about it. Don't say, oh, well, this is the little sin. The pastor didn't talk about it, so it's okay, you know. It's the big ones. The person that he's talking about is the one that is in the trouble. You know, we're talking about this thing. And so what I was saying is that a major thing that will help you, or will help us, is travail. The Bible says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again. I got you born again, but I will not stop there. You must not stop there. Is that Christ must be formed in you. When Christ is formed in you, the resistance, the greatest power against the devil, against the nature of Satan, that even Satan cannot control. I told you, I was talking to Pastor. We said even Satan doesn't have any answer to the satanic nature, because it's God's nature gone bizarre, gone wild. And so the only person that can contain it is God. It's Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christ is the most powerful being in and outside the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Are you listening to me? And so when Christ is formed in you, the only person that can check it out, that can dominate it and then cleanse it out, is that Christ nature. And it comes by groaning. The second thing that I want to say is watching and praying. You must learn the art of watching and praying. So honesty, the other thing I've dropped to you, honesty, which of course is repentance, returning to God, you know, acknowledging that these gaps are there, these are the issues, and then travail in the place of prayer and intercession. My little child, no, travail in birth again to Christ be formed in you. And then finally, watch and pray always that you may not what? Fall into temptation. You must find out and learn the art of watching and praying. Like Pastor has taught us, he says, you will teach them diligently to your children. It's in Deuteronomy, it's all over. The first scripture, the verse before that one says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself. He says, the way you will keep that commandment is by talking about it. It's not automatical. Anybody that tells that you love God automatically, I used to think like that. It's a lie. Because there's another love, and it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that is warring against the love for God. Are you listening to me? And you think that, oh, well, you know, I'm okay, I'm fine, I mean, I'm a Christian, I mean, I'm born again, say. But it doesn't work like that. All those things are not respected. What is respected is force. Are you listening to me? What is respected is force of travail, the power of God coming out of your belly in the place of prayer and intercession. You learn it. You must learn it. You must learn it. Say, I thank God as a youth, Lamentations, that I have borne the yoke in the days of my youth. I think the person that shared that scroll when I was in Covenant, Bishop Oyedepo, today is his birthday, incidentally, and you know, that scripture just comes back to me. He says, it's better for you to bear the yoke while you are young. It's in Lamentations. Are you listening to me? And Lamentation 3. And so these things that me and Prof were teaching, because Prof, when he was 18, 19, 20, he was here in church and he learned those things. And God, by his grace, has gotten him here. And myself, I can tell you from children's church, I learned to pray. Sometimes you just be making noise and just be A, O, E, R. You just be looking at yourself and be laughing. But after a while, God met me. He's been through these things too. You just be looking at I don't know, just say A, just say R. But after a while, God is going to modulate and relay. You understand? But he didn't allow it to be tough time that would make me know. You understand? And then you come to your senses as you mature. And then you learn to groan. And then, like I said, watch and pray always. It says you will talk about it while you're walking. You will talk about it while you're sitting. You will talk about it when you wake up. And you will talk about it when you sleep 4 times. And so that's why in that path of life, you see all those things have been touched. I need to go back to it because it will truly keep you on the path of life. So again, honesty, it will grant you grace. Travail, groaning, it will grant you the power. And then finally, watching and praying will help you to close the gaps. Those 3 things are the things I want to leave with you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. That's good. What Pastor Laulu started with naturally is what we will end with. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because what he started with was the way forward. Amen. As one sister shared with me many years ago, she went to serve in the East. And she started thinking about staying behind in the East. So she went to... Okay, let me just say it. And what brought the issue of staying in the East? A brother was showing up. Praise the Lord. That's what happens. Amen. So they went to church on Sunday. The man preached a wonderful message. I mean, then he ended and let us pray. He said, if it's scripture pasture, it will be, so how will we do this? I didn't hear that. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And she started tracing herself backwards. Praise the Lord. So it's always a great thing when we are told, what's the way forward? Praise the Lord. And that's why I say what Pastor Laulu started with is what we are going to end with. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's somebody here, except I'm wrong, who did birthday this week. This Monday, from Sunday, this last Sunday to tomorrow. That's this week. If it's your birthday, raise up your hand. I saw her stand up in church on Sunday. Deborah, stand up. Let me disgrace you. I embarrass you. I don't know what the word to use. Because it was 2 days ago. I just keep my house driving that. No, we don't have Deborah's picture. We'll have put it on the platform to celebrate her because she's a dedicated member of Zion City Fellowship. Loves God wholehearted. So, happy birthday to you, Deborah. We rejoice with you. We celebrate you. You put your hands on the plow. You want to sing for her? Sing for her. Choir, stand up. She's worthy of it.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
We are saying we love you. God be with you till the end of time. May he say well done. Be with you till the end of time. May he say well done. 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 May he say well done.
I'll be better, Deborah. You've laid your hands on the plow and you will not look back. And you will follow on to the end of perfection and glory in Jesus' name. God bless the work of your hands. Make you a home. Bless your home. Bless your heart. And bless all that pertains to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Well done. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Thank you. God bless you, Pastor Laolu, for that, for the word. And I just want us to open, share from my heart an exhortation this evening. Based on many of the things we've been talking about in the last few weeks or months, as the case may be. Brethren, don't let us give up. What did I say? Yeah. See, we are not, as pastors, we are not shepherds. We are not ostriches with the head in the sand. It's tough. Society is tough. There is pressure. Praise the Lord. There's pressure. Economic. Sin. Godlessness is impinging. Amen. And there is strain on our system. And sometimes we query what we know. Praise the Lord. We query our actions. We doubt the things that we've believed before. But don't give up. Amen. See, I will look through two stories in the Bible quickly that are related before I now open the scripture to look at something. Two scriptures quickly that are related. See, the Bible talks about there was a time Jesus was praying on this side. There's a river. Jesus was on this side and sent his disciples away. And he continued praying. Amen. Then he said, he told them that they let's go to the other side. And Bible says that the disciples were going and they were rowing, but the wind was contrary. Does that sound familiar? They are rowing, but the wind was contrary. And they kept on. They kept on. And then Jesus now showed up. Amen. In the fourth watch of the night. You know, Pastor Larry said, is roaring. Contrary. Yeah, you say, but Jesus met them there. Say, showed up in the fourth watch of the night. Amen. And before you know it, they were on the other side. Praise the Lord. They were on the other side. But there was a season. It was like, they were just, but Jesus was not there with them. But he was there, though it wasn't manifest. But they kept on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Praise the Lord. Second story. They were fishing all night and they caught nothing. Nothing. And again, like the fourth watch of the night, Jesus showed up on the other side. He said, children, have you caught any meat? They said, no. He said, okay, throw it this way. And they did, and they caught a lot. Praise the Lord. But you know what? By the time they brought it to the river shore, the coal was already burning. The fish was already there. The bread was already there. Amen. God had settled actually everything. He just said, okay, bring from what you have and let us add. Amen. See that story. You know what? Both of them, you know what it tells us? God watched them to row. He also watched them to fish. See, it's those activities that make them build their muscles. Amen. There's nothing God couldn't have done immediately. But you see, God wants us to be like him. That's why he watches us to get some things done so that we build spiritual muscles. Because at the end of the day, Pastor Lalo has said it, what does it is God's mercy. Amen. Forget the muscle. But God needs the muscle so that you look like him and you have become family. Amen. But once his mercy is not there, ask Samson. It's not the muscle that does it. The muscle is important. God is God that gives it, but don't get also deceived that when you have muscle, you can solve anything. It's when you didn't have muscle, mercy kept you. When you have the muscle, please don't forget the mercy. It's still the mercy that is keeping you. Praise the Lord. Go, the food was there. But he still needed them to catch so that they too can be productive people. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why the man, a reasonable man who has all the money, we still send his son to go to school to learn how to make money. Even though maybe at the end, the son may end up coming to manage the money. But you have to make him develop muscles. Praise the Lord. Unless it's going to be a disaster. God is not an unreasonable creature. There's nothing he can do for us. But we still have to learn meekness. We have to learn lowliness. That's how we can become like him. Praise the Lord. That's what matters to God. Sometimes what matters to us is our needs. What matters to God is that we'll be like him. Amen. And that's why sometimes our needs delay. Our needs delay. Because God needs us to train our minds. Amen. To train our hearts. So that we become like him. Amen. There's something I said. I was talking to brain scientists in the country. We had our conference about a month ago. So I was speaking online. I was in Germany, and I said when students come to the university to do PhD research, so there is the supervisor and there is the PhD student. Now you see, the PhD student, the only thing that concerns him, that he wants to get his degree. So when he comes, okay, you'll be working with us, okay, fine. The guy is just okay, let me quickly do everything, so that one day they will say this is the degree. See, but the supervisor, what he sees is that they've given me somebody to train. The other person is not thinking about training. He's thinking about getting his degree. Praise the Lord. The other one is not thinking about that. They told me to, this person has come to join my life so I can train him. Amen. At the end of the day, he will get his degree. Praise the Lord. So many times God looks at us. We are always thinking our needs met. God will meet every need. Praise the Lord. And you will get to the other side. But God is also interested in training you, that you become like him, that you may be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. And why does God want us to be like him? Because that's the condition to reign with him. Amen. On his throne forever. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the Bible. And so that we are going to fill the gaps. Praise the Lord. But I was, like I said, as pastors, we are not shepherds. We're not like ostrich with their heads in the sand. We know how tough things are. Amen. But we also know how faithful God is. Praise the Lord. Those two things are real. The times are tough, but our God is faithful. Praise the Lord. What the devil tries to do is to magnify how tough things are and tells you that God has forgotten about you. That's a subtle play. Is subtle play. There's problem, he magnifies the problem and makes you believe that God is not really in the scene. But the two are real. Problems are real. God is real. And if God is real, the problems are real. Really, at the end of the day, who is going to bow? The problems are going to bow. Amen. Let's look at a story in Genesis. Genesis. Chapter 26. It's talking about Isaac. Okay, 26 verse 15. Are we there? I'm not here. People are not there. I'll wait for you to be there. Genesis 26. Are we there? If you don't have a Bible, sit with near someone who has. If the person near you does not have a Bible, leave the place. I'm serious. Because I may call you to come and read. Pastor has always told us that 20, 30 years ago, church is not an entertainment place. Church is school. And many times people come with a mindset to church without a serious mindset. Church is school. Spiritual school. Amen. Now, let's repeat. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants have dug. So this is Isaac. Isaac's father is who? Abraham. In the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. So Isaac was facing a problem. There were things that his fathers had given him that should have made life easy. Praise the Lord. But in trying to enjoy it, he's facing challenges. Amen. And they had filled it with earth. That's just the sin nature showing up. Praise the Lord. Okay. 16. We're going to read the next 5 verses. So we are moving. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." We're moving. Please, let's. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again. Praise the Lord. You keep roaring. You can't give up. Amen. Because the wells is the source of life. Amen. So you can't give up. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Praise the Lord. So, you walk under covering. It doesn't mean you won't have problems. But you must walk under covering. Praise the Lord. There will still be problems. God will shield you. Amen. God will protect you. But if Isaac faced challenges. Covering is a great thing. Like I tell you, my son Pastor Lalu, I discussed one time, it's like a roof like this that has holes. So when the rains come, what do you expect? It will come. But we now put a sheet of iron on top of the building. So it's raining, but the sheet is covering it. It doesn't mean the holes are not there, but you're not suffering the consequences. That's what covering does. Praise the Lord. So you will still be wise enough to cover those holes. Amen. Because covering may not last forever. Praise the Lord. So he called them by the names which his father had called them. Verse 19. And Isaac's servants, I want to hear people's voices. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen, don't let me go there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well. Esek, because they quarreled with him. We are moving. Then they dug another well. Don't give up. Praise the Lord. Don't give up. Get the essence of the story. And they dug another well. And they quarreled over that one also. And he called his name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well. And they did not quarrel over it. Thank God Isaac didn't give up. Praise the Lord. Kept digging, because water is the source of life. Amen. The devil will shaker you a little and you drop your Bible reading. No, let's be real. Let's bring it home. Just a little. You drop prayers. Amen. No. You keep on. Jesus asked them, the disciples, "Are you going to go away also?" Like someone preached many, many years ago. How things change. Said, we do all the gimmicks to draw the crowd. Jesus asked his crowd, "Are you going away?" It means the standard is not going to be compromised. People left. Jesus now told them, they say, "Are you two not going to go?" But Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We're not going to give up." Praise the Lord. And they moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord
has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Say Rehoboth. Rehoboth. For the Lord has made room for us. Make more room for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the landmark of the fathers there. Make more room. And those the basic things you are making more room for. So, Pastor, honesty of heart. Quick to confess your sins. Pray in the spirit with travail. Amen. Praise the Lord. And watch and pray. Amen. Watch. You see, when you hear watch and pray, there are two things inside. I was telling my son this morning, see. Watch and pray is the combination of the word of God in your heart and prayer in your mouth. Praise the Lord. See, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. What makes a prayer effectual is that it is based on the word of God. Amen. Fervent is intensity, but effectual is very important, based on the word of God. And you, how can you pray effectual prayer when you don't read the Bible? Amen. So God has made more room. Honesty of heart, praying, watch and pray. Amen. That's more room. And he said, what happened again? And we shall be fruitful. Fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit. We shall be fruitful. We shall manifest love in the land. Amen. Let me encourage you as I round up before we start to share. I've said it, but I want to hit it. So one of the things the devil will always try to tell all of us, either directly or subtly, he will use any method. He has to convince you to believe that God doesn't love you. He said, nobody can tell me that. You see, when you start to query what you believe before, what have you tried to do? You start to query God's love. When you start to drop the prayer, this thing doesn't work, you start to query God's love. Amen. One of the ways the devil makes you to query whether God loves you. There's nothing as great as faith, having faith that God loves you. Papa Ralph said many times, we try to exercise faith to tell God that we love him. He said, wait, calm down. First have the faith that God loves you. So that's what breeds religion. Man always trying to convince God that he loves God. So we do it this way, do it this way, we do it this way, we burn the incense, we wear this cloth, we do this, all to try to show God that you love him. But don't let anybody, and don't let Satan, cloud your belief that God loves you. Hearing is love. Even that scripture in 1 John. Hearing is love. 1 John 3. Hearing is love. Are you with me? Yet. Okay, I'll get it out now. 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10. Okay, let's all read this. Hearing is love. There's something about this row. They are not here. You are here. Okay. Get up. Move to the front here. Move. Come and sit in the front here. Oh yeah, let's read. Let me break the ice. Hearing is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Thank you. Thank you for helping me to complete it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's why we can't love people when you are not even sure God loves you. You are insecure whether God loves you. The people who do damage to other people the most are those who are insecure about love for their own lives. They know, the psychologists know that. He was abandoned. He grew up not believing anybody loved him. When he has opportunity to damage people's life, he doesn't do it. He does it with no sense of impunity, no sense of conscience. Very insecure. And that's why the devil tries that. He tries to make you believe you're on your own. Amen. And the Bible says, hearing, before we start, not that we love God, but that God loved us. And then you now love God. And then you now love your brethren. Amen. Yes, we love him because he first loved us. Praise the Lord. June next year, I'll be 25 years married. 25 years. Well, the way time flies, it looks like yesterday. It's only when my sons appear that I know, I didn't marry yesterday. Because the two boys now are giants and bigger than two of us. So, but really, that's it. 25 years. What makes the marriage go on? Each person has the confidence that the other one loves. Very confident. I do not doubt my wife's love. And by the way, she doesn't doubt my love. So, each person is looking for what will make the other one happy. Each person is looking for the progress of the other one. So, in it, there is unity. In it, there is loyalty. In it, there is oneness. When problems come, you tackle it together. When something good happens, you share the joy together. When you know that God loves you, then you have to pray, you have to read your Bible, you see it as a delight, as my own contribution to this love relationship. Praise the Lord. And then you now be free from the burden of religion. So that prayer, Bible, you don't say, that's what they told us to do. Amen. It becomes an act out of a relationship. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Because it's a tough world outside. But in it, God loves you. Amen. Amen. And he will show up for you. That's why we started with those two stories. You are roaring. He's going to show up. You're trying to catch the fish. Nothing is happening. He's going to show up. Amen. So you need to keep believing that God is in it with you. Amen. God cares for you. God will not abandon you. I'm not going to give up. Keep believing God. Keep trusting in God. Keep acknowledging him. Your worship is genuine. Because you know God is in your case. Amen. Because God will always show up. Look, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? Is that Luke 18? Yes, in Luke 18:10 or so. 18:1 says, he spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 18:8, thank you. Give me Luke 18:8. I'll end with that. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in there? You know, like we said, in those who were roaring, Jesus showed up. In the field, showed up. When the Son, you are doing the best you can, but when the Son of Man shows up, does he see faith that you love God? Because nevertheless, he's going to show up. But when he comes, have you given up? That's what he's asking here. By the time he shows up, have you given up? Don't give up. Don't give up. Huh? Let me encourage you something. is called willingness. It's called what? If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Willingness. See, God can't help somebody who is not willing. Willingness, it means you don't feel like praying. But take the first step. Praise the Lord. That's willingness. You don't feel like reading the Bible. Take the first step. Sometimes don't see prayer. Oh, okay. I don't have the strength. It's prayer now. It's 1 hour prayer. It will start by saying, let me talk to God. Let me just acknowledge God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Then you just see power come. Encouragement. That's the thing about willingness. See, God can't help somebody who is not willing. Start with 5 minutes. Because when I can't pray this 1 hour, then I don't pray at all. You just enter the Satan's trap. Just start. Acknowledge God, thank Him, worship Him, appreciate Him. Then you just see His encouragement come. You see, He say, I don't have the time. I have to read this Bible. Start. Just read a little. It's better than you didn't read anything at all. Then you just see how God shows up. And then something just makes sense. And then later you continue. Praise the Lord. If you are willing, you need to be willing. Remember, God loves you. So do your own part. Be willing. And God's mercy will show up to strengthen your hands and help it. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Don't let us fall into this Satan's trap of, if I can't do all, then I do none. You see, that's religious spirit. Because he feels he's condemned because he didn't do all this, that. No. You will grow. Yeah, a time will come when God will demand that you do all. But as you are growing, do the best you can. Amen. Do it unto the Lord. Amen. And then we encourage, and then you can see yourself, you are doing more. Eh? Is it the student who, because he can't read 3 hours, he decided not to read at all? Does that make sense? But you see, but that's the power of religion. I don't know. This story came to mind, but let me just go there. I had one. I've said it here before, maybe a year or 2 years ago. I had a classmate. I doubt any student that reads like him. He hardly sleeps on his bed. No one in school, very school. He hardly sleeps on his bed. He's always in class, reading, and he's never passing. I'm very serious. Vet school was tough, but not to this level. And one day, I had a knock in my room. It's probably my 500 or 600, 500 level. And he came in. Oh, it was an elderly Christian, elderly in age, and he's been a Christian for a while, but we're classmates. So welcomed him. I sat up and everything. He said, I came to see you for something. I said, what's wrong with me? I felt so humbled. He said, what's wrong with me? I was the president of the Faculty Christian Fellowship. So I guess that's why he came. He said, what's wrong with me? And I knew what he was talking about. Because the results just came out. And he failed virtually everything. And he has to go for receipt exams. So what's wrong? So, I really didn't have the answer. But I just started from somewhere. Just started opening the conversation. But as we kept talking, I just saw the light of God. I said he was worshipping the hours he read. not whether he understood what was written or not. So, whether I'm understanding or not, once I sit down, I must be here for 4 hours. So he was worshipping the hours, caring less whether he understood. So we had a prayer of agreement and prayed. The next exam, out of 6 exams, he passed 4 or 5. Normally, he will fail 4 or 5. That's religion for you. That's religion for you. Start with honesty. Oh, Pastor, God help me. I have a problem here. But when religion is a very bad spirit. Very bad spirit. And it's a worship of self. That's what it is. Inverted. It's clothed in other things. It's a worship. It's self measuring how he's doing things. And mercy is never magnified. So God loves you. Amen. I say God loves you. Accept it. Exercise faith in it. And based on the fact that God loves you, start to respond back to love him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. So we have a question. We have one or two questions or a comment. I believe God has spoken to us this evening. Like I said, the way Pastor Lalu started really is the end. Honesty. Do the prayers. Watch and pray. Amen. Watch and pray. Acknowledge God. Pray in the spirit briefly under your breath. That's how we live this. That's how we keep roaring. Amen. And God will meet us there. And that's the key to the victorious life. Any comments? Thank you. That's why I brought you to the front. Eh? That's why I brought you to the front.
Praise the Lord.
First, tell me your name.
My name is Joy.
Up, Joy. Let's see Joy.
So I wanted to ask that, how are you going to know if you love God to a certain level?
That's a very good question. Praise the Lord. When you keep his commandments. Praise the Lord. When you keep his commandments. You read the word of God. You pray. Are you listening to me? First, it starts with, it's a duty. I have to pray. But it's like, big task. It's a duty. Then later it becomes a discipline. You are used to it. You see yourself waking up and you hear the voice of God and you want to pray back. At the beginning, even if you hear the voice of God, it's like, Kai, five tialu. See, it's a duty. Later, it becomes a discipline. You know, it's five. I got to get up. But it's not like a duty like before. But you tell yourself that it's the discipline. And then with time, it's going to become a delight. That means as you are sleeping, you are looking forward to waking up and doing your prayers. It takes time. Are you getting me? It takes time. But in these big gaps, when they say 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, there's 32, there's 34. You will see that the relationship between you and God is improving. Let me give you another good indices of your love for God. You are quick to repent. See, because man has sin nature, but you curse somebody. Don't let me use a word. But when he says that thing, you turn away. You say, "Who is he? This is that." Then the next morning, when you wake up, say, "Shouldn't have said that thing." But that was you a year ago. But now you come, then now turn away. You should. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Compared to 24 hours, it has now turned to a minute. That's God. Then you know the time will come, you will never say such words. That's how we grow. You be patient with yourself. Amen. Be patient, like Pastor Larry said, well, we are not going to get there overnight, but we'll keep exercising what we are expected to. God will show up and make you better. Praise the Lord. So, and that's how you know that this thing is becoming a delight. Amen. I'm quick to repent. The word of God, quick to attend to it. So, by this you know that you love me, by keeping my commandments. Praise the Lord. Joy, have I helped you? Okay. Praise God. Pastor Larry.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to share a scripture when you said that. First, it's important to know that God loves you. All right, that was a starting point. Then how do I love God back? How do I reciprocate that love? And it won't just be by emotions or by, you know, I love God, sha. You know, but in John chapter 14, in verse 21, it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. God loves everybody generally, but you know, God can have some deep, intimate love for people. You know, just like Jesus had many disciples, but there were three, Peter, James, and John, but there was now one that was the one that was called the Beloved, that had his head on his chest. You understand? So there are depths. It depends on all how we commit to keeping the word. Now, that was what prophets were talking about, to reading the word. You know, you delight in it. I know it might not be something that you like immediately, but you begin to obey it gradually, and it becomes the greatest tree in your garden. You understand? The greatest thing that you'll obey and you'll desire and you love to do. Do you understand? Above other things, when it comes to priorities. So, I mean, that is an indication in that John chapter 14 that he who has my commandments and keeps them. It is he. Then Jesus said unto them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Verse 23, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. Do you understand? So, keeping that word, how do you keep the word? You need to pray the word. You need to read the word to even know the word. You need to be saying the word. You need to be thinking the word. That's how you keep the word. It's not just by coming to church that you are keeping the word. No, you are hearing the word. You know, but you need to start keeping the word by going back to the word, reading the word on your own, speaking the word, not speaking other words, primarily, believing that word, thinking that word. When there is an issue, what comes up first? Is it your own words or your own ideas that come up first, or his own word, his own ideas and his thoughts, you know, and what he will do in that situation? So you need to check priorities, scale of priorities, what you love, your words or his words, men's words or his words. You know, do you delight in his word and his commandments more than others? That is a great measure of whether you love him. Do you understand? So, and it takes grace and it takes growth to begin to expand in loving all his word and taking all his word. But that's where you can start.
Okay, I have another question. Okay, I want to ask that. The second one is, how a Bible now, if you want to read a Bible, the thing is that, are you going to start from the beginning, or you just pick up a Bible and just open any Bible verse, or where to start exactly, actually to grow gradually?
Pastor Lalu sends me every morning how I should read my Bible. So, at the end of the meeting, those who are coming for the first time, or so, bro, pressure will take we pastor gives us a Bible reading guide every morning. Okay, so if you're on the WhatsApp, it will be sent to you every morning. But by and large, what is this? What has pastor taught us for the past 40 years? Pastor tells us that the Word of God is God's food. Okay? It's God's what? God's food. It's manna. Praise the Lord. And food comes in balanced diet. It comes in what? That's the truth. In balanced diet. So pastor sends us, you read this part, Old Testament, this part of Psalms, this part of Proverbs, this part of the Gospel, this part of the New Testament. Little here, little here, a little here, a little there, a little here, so that you get a picture, a complete picture. Okay? Everything is food. but it comes in different segments that makes a whole meal. Praise the Lord. If you eat only protein, and I'm a veterinary doctor, in my young days when I was practicing daily, there was one man, very rich man, bought a puppy, very nice puppy, and I mean, because he had money, was giving the thing meat, giving the puppy meat. So he came and complained that the dog is not, you know, putting on, you know, putting on weight. He was a rich man. He wanted to show off his dog. That I was a young, I think I just finished youth service, so I was working with another vet doctor. So I said, "What are you feeding?" He said, "Meat." I said, "Ah, that's good." So my boss now came. He said, "Sir, this puppy is 9 weeks. Feeding with me." He said, no. It doesn't have enough carbohydrates. The meat is good. The flesh is strong, but he can't put on weight." He said, "So please, half the meat, put rice." Within a week, the dog just started shooting up. It was eating well, expensive food, but it wasn't balanced. And cool. When I read, you will not develop. Okay? So we'll announce, we can get the Bible reading guide every day, so that at least at the end of every week, you've gone around the Bible. Okay? Say, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Amen. That's what the word of God does in its different, and give you an inheritance. Amen. Let me just say something, since Sajo has brought it up. I beg you, in the name of the Lord, stop having wordless days. That means a whole day without the word of God. Stop it. I just told my son this morning, stop it. If you are so busy, and go read small. But a whole day, morning to nothing. No, stop. Stop having wordless. The world is too dangerous for that. Amen. Thank God for covering, and thank God for scripture, pastor, because you know, by the time you do life scriptures, you've read the Bible. That's the truth. People don't know. That is why people have some inherent strength. By the time you do life scripture, you've read the Bible. And go, but stop having wordless days. No matter how busy, how tight, they read small. The ones that you miss the next day when you are free, read. But 21st century Christians should never be wordless Christians. No, we can't afford it. Praise the Lord. Joy, do you have another question? One more, and let's close. Thank you, Joy. One more. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, I just want to contribute.
Okay.
All right. So, I just want to say that it's very important we know, we understand that as believers, we surely undergo tests. In the faculty of tech, there is this thing we call tensile strength, when we check the strength of a material. Right, and if we say that this material is strong, we can't say it is strong until it undergoes test. So if you say this, so to say, this plastic, you have done something to it, and now you can eat it on the ground, you can throw it from skyscrapers, nothing is going to happen to it, we cannot know that until you practicalize it. So many times as believers, we must come to understand that if we say we have faith, our faith will be tested. So we should not say that everything should be smooth and rosy at all times, because one day your faith will be tested, and it is in that testing of faith we will know how much of love of God you have within you, and we will know whether you truly love God or you gauge yourself by yourself. Because many times I grew up, I tell myself I love God so much. And when challenges begin and everything was like, "God, my God," I say, "God, I'm not praying again." I think some days I'll be like, some days I'll be going to class, I'll be like, "I'm tired. I can't cope with praying, going to class, everything. Yeah, these things are just too much for me." And I begin to see that, maybe I really don't really understand this love of a thing. I thank God for scripture pasture. I thank God for the continuous revelation and everything. And suddenly I learned to, within the storm, I learned to keep hold with the word of God, that I should not lose. If I should lose anything, let me not lose the word of God. And that has really been a blessing to me. Yes, and I want to mention also that I was going through the scriptures, and there's this popular scripture, and I think we say it often, but we don't, I don't know, I just feel like I just got a new insight about it. When the word says, Matthew 11:30, it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We say that thing a lot, but one day I sat down and I said, so God has a yoke and God has a burden. That struck me, like, really, God, I thought we are the ones that usually have the burden and the yoke. I never knew that God has a yoke and God has a burden. And so many times when I go to place of prayer, I think I put this thing in my mind that God has a yoke and God has a burden. So I'm not always like wanting to just ask. I'm always wanting to also hear, because I believe God has something he wants to tell me. And that, I think that will also help one to press more. When you don't hear anything, when you just want to be like father to son kind of fellowship. So yes, that is also very important. I think we should know that. Then this last one, I think this last one has to do with my first. Okay, yes, this is the last one. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. But I think the under version says the Lord has become my stronghold. I think that now when we say stronghold, I feel it is a mental thing. So if the Lord is your stronghold, that means every time you think about God, he has become your stronghold. So anywhere you find yourself, God, you are in the car, God, you are about to eat, God, you are in the bed, you are in the God. So he's your stronghold. When anybody is asking you anything, you are relating it to God. So God has now become the thing. Your stronghold in your head is God is affecting you. I guess that is the word that penetrates more. So that's the last one. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's called addiction. Amen. The Lord has become thy standby. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know the scripture that balances that says, in all thy ways acknowledge me, and he will direct your path. Praise the Lord. So, and you see, that's where that Satan's trying to deceive us that God loves us. Don't want to be, because you see, when you know God loves you, that's why in all you will always acknowledge him. Praise the Lord. He directs our path. Put on the board Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10. Quick, and then so that we can pray. I don't want New King James. Put the King James itself. Okay. I'm sure it's virtually the same thing. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And many times our strength is small. Amen. Then we repent and try to do better. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what he was saying. He thought he loved God. It happens. We are growing. Amen. But we get back to the word. Praise the Lord. We get back to it. But don't let the devil take you away from that thing. My strength is small, fine, but it won't remain small. Praise the Lord. It won't remain small. That's why we repent. Praise the Lord. And then go back and try to become better. Go back. It's the willingness. Let the willingness be there. So it's not a shame that your strength is small. It's the reality. Change it. Praise the Lord. Make it better. Because the day of adversity will come for everybody. Amen.
That's the day. That's the strength of material when it's tested. The day of adversity. Like one man of God said many years ago, in just putting a translation today, say, if your strength is small, the day of adversity will show it. But if it is small, if it's found to be small, repent and get back on your feet and try to make your strength more. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayers. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I am made a choice.
Let's get up.
To listen for your voice.
Wherever you may lead,
wherever you may lead,
I will go.
I will go.
Be it.
Be it in the quiet pastures or by a gentle stream. The shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain? Or the valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul is by my side.
Should I face
a mighty mountain
or a valley,
or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul is by my side.
The shepherd of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul.
Talk to him.
Is now my God.
The shepherd of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul. Is now my God.
The shepherd of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul. Is now my God.
Put one hand on your chest and raise one hand to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I come by the blood of Jesus. I repent. I come with reverence and respect before your throne. I repent. I bow before you in meekness and lowliness of heart. I repent. It's not about me. It's about you, God. Thank you because you first loved me. Thank you because you are love. God is love. And indeed, you are my first love. Help me to love you as a relationship based on the love that you have for me. I repent in believing that you do not love me. I repent in doubting your love for me. Help me to have faith in your love for me and to respond in keeping your commandment, obeying your word as a response of the love that you have for me. With this love, let me love my brethren. Let me love all men as you have loved them. Help me to be a product of love so I become more like you every day. When I make a mistake, I will not give up. I will repent. I will quickly repent, get back on my feet, and walk in the path of love. Thank you because you've made room for me. I say, Rehoboth, you have made room for me, and I'll be fruitful in this land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen. Rababa shakata karibakastu. Maribakato brebo sanda la la la. Regede bakaka. Thank you, Father. Masunte paroski takareba kasunte. Jiko prono sakata kiruno. Thank you, Jesus. Rustale bariketo sandaye. Regede bokokonda stapun dregaska. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Rebe du shakate. Ruge de bakoko. Mariba sonte ke de bremo. Mangra gido sagi. Riketo santakaya. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you because you answer our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap.